Today we're going to deal specifically with the phrase that comes up three, four times really in Gemara, "Lonin Torah L'Malachei HaSharis," which becomes a rule in Psak. I gave you Rosh Weiss's tshuva, which summarizes a lot of that. We're not going to read the whole tshuva, but I gave it to you because the best summary that I've seen of the way it's used in Psak following the Gemara. What I want to do is I want to analyze the principle as it appears in Chazal, what it means, what it doesn't mean, how it plays out in Psak, how it affects how we think about halacha. So, before we get to the actual halachic cases, the reason there's an outline, I don't usually give an outline, it's just I gave this in Toronto at the Torah in Motion event, or some version of it anyways. So, there was Seder time, so I had to give guiding questions. But if you move to the last source, right, before we get to anything, on the Makar sheet, number 6. What? Well, it's 1 through 5 and then 6. So I'm just skipping. Okay? I'm sorry, Ruvain. I know. I didn't reprint a new Makara sheet, if it really bothers you that much. Okay.
It really
doesn't. The odd thing about recording this and putting in YU Torah is that all these back and forths get recorded too. Okay. So the Gemara in four places uses the phrase Nitala Mal Hasharis to lower the standards in certain cases. We'll see, right, allow someone to say Kriya Shema under certain circumstances, allow someone to do Avodah under certain circumstances. Now, if I asked you, what is Lo Nitna Torah L'Mal HaSharis, where does that phrase come from philosophically? Right, what would you say? Well, no. I mean, yes, but there's much more specifically. There's a backstory. We'll see. It's a halachic statement, but are you raising your hand or you're throwing a your okay? Yeah, exactly. Right. There's a backstory. Right. Chazal actually have a story for Lo Nina Torah L'Malchei HaSharis. Right. So you look at the last story. Amar Yeshua ben Levi b'shash ala Moshe l'marom. Amru Malchei HaSharis l'mnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right. Moshe went up to Shemayim. So the Malachim said to God, "Ribono shel Olam, mala yulid isha b'neinu? Why is there a human being amongst us?" Amar lahem, "Lekabel Torah ba." He came to receive the Torah. So Amar lefana, "Chamuda genuza shegenuza lach chameot v'shivim v'arba derot kodem shnevra olam atamakesh l'tan lebasar v'dam." Your treasure, which you've hidden away for 974 generations, 974 coming from where?
1,000
minus 26. What? There's no extra. You have to share with someone. What?
1,000 minus 26.
1,000 minus 26. 26 generations of the world till Moshe. Right? 10 from Adam to Noach. 10 from Noach to Avram. Then 6 more. Right? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, God, Amram, Moshe. So, Ma enesh ki sizkirenu ven adam ki sifkirenu Hashem adoninu ma'adir shimcha b'chal aretz asher t'neyotcha ala shamayim. And now, Chazal are about to make a drasha based on this Kapitel Tehillim that starts and ends with the phrase Ma'adir Shimcha Bechol Ha'aretz. Right? So the right Asher Tanei Hod Chol HaShemayim, but the end it just says Ma'adir Shimcha Bechol Ha'aretz. Right? Chazal are middle of a drasha, and they start. They say, right? So they're darshaning this Kapitel Tehillim. So the Malachim turn to God and say, "What are is a human being that you bother mentioning him? God, you are glorious over the earth, and your glory is in the heavens." The implication being, well, heavens and earth, but why bother giving the Torah to earth when you are also primarily the gods of the a God of heaven? So Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. So God says to Moshe, "Hachzer lahen tshuva." Answer them. Amar Lo Fana Ribono Shel Olam, Misyarei Ani Shem Yizrfuni BeHevel Shebefiyeh. I'm afraid that they're going to burn me with the fire of their mouth. So Amar Lo, he said, "Achoz b'chisech vodi, hold on to my throne." The Chazor lehen tshuva, then answer. Shneamar achoz b'nei kisei. Yerushas aleinu aneinu. Va'amar Rabbi Nachum melamed shepirish shakai miziv shchinato v'aneinu alav. Fine. Amar lefan up. So he said, "Rabbanu shalom, Torah shata noteili makziv." So now Moshe starts a dialogue. He says, "God, what is in this Torah? Anochi Hashem alkecha asher tzidicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the God that took you out of Egypt." So Amar lehem, "Mitzrayim yiradem, lefaro ishtabatem, Torah lama teheilachem." Did you go to Mitzrayim? Did Paro enslave you? Why should you have the Torah? Shuv, maktiv, what else is written? Lo yelecha Elohim achirim. Don't have other gods. We said, do you live amongst other nations that worship idols that this is relevant to tell you? What else? Keep Shabbos. Don't work. Do you work? Do you do malacha that you need a rest? Don't swear. Masau matani b'nechem. Do you do business that you need to make vows? Shuv maktiv ba kaveri davicha v'edimecha. Ava em yeshachem. Do you have parents? Shuv maktiv ba lo tirtach, lo tinav, lo tignov. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Kinai yesh b'chem. Do you have jealousy? Yitzharai yesh b'nechem. Do you have the sexual urge? Miyad hodu lo l'kadosh baruch hu. So now the malachim turned to God and say, you're right. Shneamar Hashem Adoneinu ma adir shemcha v'gomer v'ilu tneocha ala shemayim loktiv. Right. So now the closing pasuk of the parak in Tehillim says Hashem Adoneinu ma adir shemcha, and it leaves out ala shemayim. Right. You're great, but not over the heavens. Meaning, fundamentally, where is God's presence as expressed in the Torah supposed to be? Earth. Right. Miyad kol echad v'chad nasal ohev, and the malachim therefore became Moshe's best friend, and wasar lo davar, and give him gifts, and amar, alitin lamarom, shavit ha-shvi, lakach ha-matanot ba-adam, b'schar shekaruch ha-adam, lakach ha-matanot. Right, in the schud that you were called human, the malachim recognized the Torah is for you, and they gave you gifts, and alach malach ha-mavet, masar lo davar, and amar, v'yitin et ha-kturet, v'chapar l'am, v'yomar, v'yomar, b'yomar, 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 he loved Amar Lei Mihala Yada, right? And then the Gemara continues that he gave him the secret to death, and they can conquer it with the Ketaret. Okay, fine. So Chazal have a backstory to this phrase of Lonina Taral Malchesh. All right, literally, right? There was a vikuach, so to speak, and God ideally gave Torah to mankind. Now, this Christine Hayes points out this is not, does not exist in a vacuum. Christine Hayes, for people who do not know, is a very interesting person. She's the head of the religion department, I believe, at Yale. Not Jewish, obviously. Right, Christine, not the most Jewish name. Her expertise is rabbinic texts. She actually went to Zachariah. She went to your father's shiurs at some point, apparently.
In Yale,
yeah. Apparently what I heard quoted from your father was that when she was there, she could plow through a rimigash like it was nothing. Whatever. So apparently, she's very, very smart. She really knows her stuff.
Her favorite rishon is the Meiri.
What?
Her favorite rishon is the Meiri.
Something I share in common with her. So she's very good. She's really very, very good. And she notes, I think correctly, that at the time, there was a vikuach, or if you look at the sectarians, you look at the Greeks, at the time of Chazal, and especially if you look at sectarian Jews, right? Anyone that's ever been to the Israel Museum, seeing some of the dead sea scrolls, there was an idealization of heaven, or of angels, right? Humans tried to be angelic. We do that once a year, Yom Kippur, right? But normally, and there's no idealization per se of being angelic, right? This is not just Chazal saying this in a vacuum. Right? There was a large part of the world, Jewish and not Jewish, that idealized heaven, that idealized angels, that thought human beings should strive to not be human. And Chazal very forcefully create a theology, and then we'll see how this implements itself in halacha, where, no, Torah is ideally given to mankind, and man at a certain level is the ideal, the people who can struggle, the people who can keep Torah, the people who need Torah. That's the ideal, rather than the people who, right, the people, they're not people, the angels, who don't need it. So that's the backstory, okay? But now let's see how it's used in the Gemara. Now I want to be careful. See how it's used in the Gemara, and then, once we see how it's used in Gemara, I want to explore how it's used in Poskim, the expansion that we have in, when you get to Poskim. That's what we're going to do. Okay. So, first source. And it comes up four places in Shas. So, let's start. So, the Gemara said, this is Binyan Kari Kriyashma, Gemara Brachos Daf Chav Hem and Beit. V'im Lav Yitkaseh B'mayim V'ikra. Right? The Gemara goes through a whole scenario of how much of you is covered, how much of the things are you wearing. The Gemara says, okay, if you can't, in a certain circumstance, get sufficiently dressed to cover yourself with water, and then say Kriya Shema. The Gemara says, Bahare libo roes ha'erva. But how can you say Kriya Shema? Your heart sees the erva, right? There's an iser for that to happen, right? That's why when you're davening, what do you need? A belt. And you need to wear a belt while you're davening. Now, how do we get around this? Halachically, bismanazah? Elastic, right? Meaning, if your underwear has elastic, same thing, right? It is chotzeitz between the upper half of your body and the lower half of your body. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, V'itema Rabbi Acha Bar Abba, Bar Acha Mishum Rabbeinu, B'mayim Achurun Shanu, this only works in dirty water or cloudy water, D'damu Ka'aras Michta, because it's as thick, right, in terms of seeing through it, as land. Shelo Yireh Lirbo Ervaso. So Tana Rabbana, Mayim Sluin, if you're in clear water, Yeshu Ben Atzavar V'Korei, sit until your neck and read Yesh Omrim, Ochen Barago, some people say you should kick it, kick the water, you should get it, point where it's cloudy, where it's not smooth, because if it's smooth, you will be able to see through it. But Tanakama Hare Libo Roa as Erva, Kazavar Libo Roa Erva Mutter. Fine. Now the Gemara says, okay, fine. But let's assume we paskin that Libo Roa Erva is Aser. But still, even if you've now solved the problem of Libo Roa Erva, Hare Akiva Roa Erva, your cave, your in your foot, right? Meaning, this is a specific part of the foot, but the point is, right, your lower part of your body sees the erva. So the Gemara says, "Ksavar Akiva Roz Erva Mutter." Itmar. Akiva Roz Erva Mutter. No Geya, what if it touches, right? Abai Omer Aser, Rava Omer Mutter. Rav Zvid Masnil Alashmaitza Hachi, Rachanina Barei, Rav Ika Masnil Hachi, No Geya Dibrei Akal Aser, Rowe Abai Omer Aser, Rava Omer Mutter, Lundin Nator Lamalachi Ashares, Vehilchasa No Geya Aser, Rava Mutter. So then the Gemara says, and there's two versions of the Brisa, the final version, which is the one we're going to focus on, says that there's a machlokas. If it's No Geya, if your foot is actually touching, so then it's Aser to say Kriya Shema. But if it just sees it, right, there's nothing blocking between your foot and erva. So then Abai says you cannot say Kriya Shema. Rava says you can say Kriya Shema. Why? Lo nitna Torah l'malachei ha'sharis. The Torah was not given to angels. And this is how we paskin, right? Shulchan Aruch. Shari ve'ravam is erva mutter. Avalam eza me'varam noge ben ve'ravasa ben ve'ravas chaveru. Also l'kros Kriya Shema o l'hezbalel. V'yechosav she'erva shocheves alehen. Tzarech lafsikan ve'beged l'archikan v'nyan shlo yiga hagid bohem. Now, what do we notice from this source? And if we want to start to figure out what is this principle of Lonit Natar L'malachei Ha'sharis. So, how does Gemara use it? Right? What does Lonit Natar L'malachei Ha'sharis allow us to do here? Now, what is the dispensation that's provided by this principle? Okay, just factually, right? Let's start locally, right? What's the local heter that we have?
It allows the foot to see the
error. Correct, that's it. Right? Now, what's Rava's justification for it? Lonit Natar L'malachei Ha'sharis. What does it mean, Ruven?
You can't expect to be perfect and cover all bases.
Correct, right? At some level, right? Something, without getting into all the details, you can be expected to be perfect. Now, before you ask a question, does Lonit Natar L'malachei Ha'sharis tell you that halacha cannot demand from you the impossible, or that halacha lowers the standard beyond that and won't even ask things that are difficult, unreasonable? Which of those is it? And prove it to me from the Gemara.
The second.
Prove it.
Abai thinks it's
Usher. Exactly, right? Very simply, right? There's a machlokes. Abai says it's Usher, which means we're not talking about something that's impossible. So we know off the bat is that Lonit Natar L'malachei Ha'sharis, under certain circumstances, allows us to do things, right? To not even strive for perfection, forget perfection. Even something which is difficult is mutter, right? It's mutter to not be makbid on. Now, the obvious problem, and then I'll get to you, Ruven. What's the obvious problem? And why do we have to explore the nature of this principle? Right? If I would try to extrapolate from this, that the Torah doesn't ask you to do things which are difficult, what's the problem with that very simple proposition?
How do you define things that are difficult?
Well, more simple. I mean, that's one side of the coin, but put it more combatively here.
That would be the reform movement.
No, not that combatively. God, not that. The Torah does ask us to do things which are hard, right? I mean, what type of things do we talk about where we say that halacha doesn't expect us to do things which are difficult, right? Thank you, Yair. Right, under certain circumstances, yes, the Torah doesn't expect us to do something that are difficult, but obviously it sometimes does. Right, so we have to figure out, okay, so what does this principle mean, and when does it apply? Yeah, Ruben.
Okay, just within this sugya, what's the concept of your foot seeing your erva? That we have a high level that you can't say Kriya Shema in that situation? Like, what's the significance of the foot?
I think even the foot, right? Meaning any part of your body can't see your erva, right? Your erva has to be, right, separated from the rest of the body. Yeah, I mean, completely closed. Whatever, right? I mean, I've never seen any post like who said that you have to wear dafka boxers, dafka briefs and not boxers, because if anything, I've seen the opposite, right? There are actually post-game who say the opposite, that it's always usser to wear, yes, whatever. There seems to be a piece that's quoted in the Oshar post-game. Because the Gemara says that mechnasayim are usser. And we're need this as mechnasayim are usser. What are mechnasayim? So it might be that. So if anything, the opposite. Because, right, if it's too tight, then it causes Hosea Zera. Right, this is the, whatever. Right, it's a Dion in the Ochar post, Kim Tzimachav Gimel.
Like, of Ebenezer, yeah? It makes sense to say Libor there, because that's supposedly where the concentration comes from. And that makes a connection that between when saying Kriyash. But what's the...
Presumably just, you know, you want to separate from there, but I don't want to get into this sugya too much. Why your foot? Why did you choose your foot? But next year it's up outside, okay? Fine. That's case one. Case two. Also, Kriyashma davening. Amra papa. Soa bimkoma asur lakras Kriyashma. If there is soa, right, in the place where it comes out, right, so then you can't say Kriyashma. So hey chidami, what's the case? Eden yireis, if it's mamish protruding. So that obviously. Pshita, ilon yireis, right? If we're talking it's inside your body, right? So then lonit netorla malchash aretz, right? That's impossible. We can't ask you to do that, right? To get rid of that, it's impossible. Lo tzricha, or not impossible, it's difficult. Lo tzricha di yoshev yireis omei veino yireis. It's a case where if you sit down, it would protrude. If you stand up, it wouldn't protrude. Umayshna mitzal b'saro. And why is it different from a little bit of feces on your skin? To idmar tzol b'sara osher yada b'esakise rafuna amar mutal across kriyashma rachit amar also across kriyashma. Somewhere it says bimkoma nafish zuama shalom bimkoma lo nafish zuama. When it's in it, the place where it comes out, it's more zuama. It's more. It smells more. It's something. It's dirtier. I don't know. Okay, but again, here kriyashma. Again, the Gemara says that the reason you're allowed to say kriyashma if tzol bimkoma Chelonires is because when it netala malchayashar is. Now again, is this a case where it's impossible? No, right? We'll see, right? Rav Asher Weiss points this out also. We'll get to it. It's not impossible, right? If halacha had said you have to take a hot bath every time, right before every time you say Kurishma, right? So it clears out, you know, anything that's not balua, right? Meaning, obviously, if it's mamish, mamish inside your body, that's balua. That has no halacha to give against, right? Halacha could have said that, but it didn't. Again, limits that. Now, there's one other kava mishutaf between these two examples that the Gemara gives, right? Which is, besides the fact that both about kriyashma, hold that thought, we'll get to it, right? What type of things is the Torah not demanding of you because of lonet netarol malach hasharis? Things that relate essentially to what?
Physical.
Right, I mean, they relate, right, even sharper, they relate to physicality, meaning they relate most directly to being human, right? Meaning that's the point. Lonit netar lomalach hasharis means, right, these are things which are intrinsic to humanity, therefore lonit netar lomalach hasharis, under certain circumstances, it gives you a heter. Okay, third example is from Hektish. So, here we have to read two different sources. The first one doesn't have the phrase but it's the background. So the Gemara in Kiddushin says, if you remember from last year, behektish bemezid kidesh b'shoget lo kidesh divrei Reb Meir b'yudamer b'shoget kidesh bemezid lo kidesh. Right, we're talking about different shitas in Mi'iva. So now the Gemara says, "Chazar no call it sadim shel Reb Meir." So we went through every possibility of Reb Meir. V'lo matzino hektish b'shoget gimeschal, and there's never a case of hektish by accident which does not lose its kiddusha. B'mezid mischalo, and on purpose, and doing it intentionally, where it is Mishnah Seinu. So our Mishnah is what? Because note kahuna shalo balu is by the big day kahuna that haven't worn out. Hoel v'nitnu lehanos bahen. Since you're allowed to get hanah from them, right? Lefi, wait, why you get allowed hanah from them? Meaning you're allowed to continue wearing them even when you're not doing the avoda. Lefi shalo ninatar lemalchei asharis. And why are you allowed to continue wearing them and getting hana'a beyond the end of the avodah? Again, lo nid netar lo malach hasharis. What's the svara here? Right? That it's impossible for you to literally strip the begadim off the moment you finish the avoda. Right? There's going to be a time where you're not doing avoda, and you're still wearing the begadim, and therefore the Torah never, you know, required you to take them off as quick as possible, and you know, said, oh, that 1 second that they're still on is onus. It just says, and that becomes the reason that big day kuna nitnu lihanus ben. Tashma, kanis kuna shabalu, molen, vendiri, mayor, my love, you low, balu, low, balu, dafka, tashma, and then goes on this. Now, if you continue to the next Gemara, and there's a Gemara Nioma, the beginning of the seventh parax, the Gemara says, Bala Kohen Gadol Likros, when the Kohen Gadol comes to read the Kriya Sitar on Yom Kippur, and Ratz Likros Bivig Dei Butz, if he wants to read it in non-Big Dei Kohanim, in the Big Dei Kuna, he can, Kori Vem Lav, Kori Vitzis Shlo, Lav, and Mishlo. If he doesn't want to wear the Big Dei Kuhuna, he can wear his own white shirt. So Gemara says, Mitzani Vitzis Shlo, and Mishlo. Since we say that you're allowed to wear your own shirt, this teaches us that reading is not avoda. Reading the Kriya Satorah of the Kohen Gadol is not avoda of the Ketani. And we learn that in Ratza Likras Big Day Butz, if you want to read in the Big Day Kahuna, Kore. As the Gemara says, we learn two things. One is you don't have to wear the Begadim, which means it's not an avoda, but on the other hand, you're allowed to wear the Begadim. Shmat Mina, so the fact that we allow you to wear the Begadim, even though it's not an avoda, tells you the Big Day Kahuna Ninu Leonis Ben, that you're allowed to get benefit from the Big Day Kuna. So the Gemara says, no, Doma Shani Kriya. Maybe Kriya is an in-between category, Ditzurach Avodahi. Because it's necessity of Avodah. The Ibailan Big Day Kuna, Nilu Hanazan, Olon Nilu Hanazan. Because we ask the question, can you get Hanah from them or not? Tashma, Ro Yashem Big Day Kodesh, right? You wouldn't sleep in them. Shena Hu Delo, Nechal Achli, right, which implies that you can't sleep, but you could eat in them. No, domashan yachila d'tzorach avodahi. Maybe it's different because it's tzorach avoda kedetanya v'achlu osam asher kupar bohem milamed shakonim ochlam ubayim miskaprim, because achila is also a quasi avoda. Because when the kohanim eat the karbanos, the owners of the karban get atonement. So Gemara says, Shena hu delo ha holuche ma'alche. So you can't sleep in them, but maybe you could walk in them. The Gemara says, no, but dinu daluche namilo. Maybe you can't sleep, you can't walk in them either. V'siflet shrichale. And you need it for the end of it, that potion of a kabla manichan tachas rasheihem. To tell you that what you do with it, that you fold it and you put it under your head. Potion of a kabla manichan tachas rasheihem. Shmami na big day kunalin is lehanas behen. Again, if you can use it as a pillow, that proves you're allowed to get hanah from it. Samarapaba, lote matachal roshayan. Don't say it's under your head, ela ema, keneged roshayan, say it's parallel to your head. Samarasharashia, shmami na tfilin minatsad, shapir dami. And from here you learn that you can put your tfilin on the side. Hachanami, mistavri, keneged roshayan, dizakal tachal roshayan, vitevikle, mishum kilayim. So now the Gemara says, okay, but fine, it's not usher because of kriyash, because of big day kahuna. But it should be usher, because some of the begotim have kilayim, dahika avnet, because the avnet is made of kilayim. When he nami didn't be honest, behen, hamisani be kilayim. And if I'm going to tell you that you're allowed to get hana, you're allowed to benefit from big day kuna, you're getting hana from kilayim. So the Gemara says, hani chol mani ravnet shel kohen gadol, zeu avnet shel kohen hedyo. If you say that the avnet of the kohen gadol is the same as that of a regular one, so then they're not kilayim. And l'man liyamar avneto shel kohen gadol lo avneto lo zehu avneto shel kohen hedyot Michael and Meimar. But if you think they're different, and the begadim of the kohen hedyot, the avnet of the kohen hedyot is kilayim, so you have this problem. V'chi teima kilayim bilavisha v'alohu da'aser. And maybe you'll say that kilayim is only aser if you wear it or you put it on you. Batzara shari. But if you lie it down and you're on top of it, it's not aser. V'atanu lo yala lecha v'atam motalatzi otachtecha. Aval amru chacham aser lasus gein shemati charech nima achas al b'saro. That midah araisa, that might be the case, but midah rabbanan, we forbid you from even lying down in kilayim because some of it might fold up on top of you. V'chi tema demafik le beni midi beni beni, and maybe you'll say that there's something between you and the kilayim that's still aser. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon ben Levi, Amar Rebbe mishum kala kadisha d'Yerushalayim, afil eser matzos zu al gav zu, that even if there are 10 mattresses, v'kilayim tachtein, right, this is the, what, sort of colloquially known as the, right, princess and the pea Gemara, right? That even, right, you have to be sensitive even to the one thread of kilayim under 10 mattresses. It's 10 mattresses in the story, isn't it? 10 beds? 100? 100? 100. Okay, sorry. Probably multipliers. I'm sure there's some telling where it's kilayim. So the Gemara said, "Allah shema mina, can never change shema mina." Fine. And the Gemara again continues in this vein. Now, what seems to come out of the Gemara is about the princes and the bees. Yes, what?
20 mattresses and 20 feather beds.
Thank you. 20 mattresses and 20 feather beds. Good, good. Now we have a Girsa Meduyeket Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Girsa Meduyeket of Wikipedia. Baruch Hashem. Okay, great. So now, what's the implication of this Gemara? Right, we saw the Gemara before that from the perspective of Big Day Kahuna, Lonin Tar Lamalach Hasharis, and therefore even when you finish the Avodah, you are allowed to keep it on. But now the Gemara raises a different problem, which is Kilayim. So now if I asked you, Mibchinat Kilayim, what do you have to do? Do you have to take off the Begadim as soon as you finish the Avodah or not?
You should.
You should, right? Right, if you look, for example, at the Rambam, says that explicitly. Big Day Kahuna Mutar Le'Anus Bayan. Right, you're allowed to get Hana from Big Day Kahuna. Lefich Loshem B'Yom HaVodah, so Fiyish Shalas HaVodah. And therefore, you're allowed to wear them all day, even when you're not doing HaVodah. Chutz Min Avnei B'Mnei Shushanes. Except for the Avnei. Now, this highlights something else. Okay, let's read Tosafot Yerushalmi first. Tosafot Yerushalmi gives an explanation for why this is the case. So he says, Tema, Maishna Dizer Kilayim Pshita Lei Di'ika Ugabim Ilam Esapkali Ninu Lehanus Mehem Ilo. Why is it that the Gemara is convinced that it's usher to wear the begadim that have Kilayim, even with Shelo B'Shas Avoda, but by Big Day Kahuna, from the perspective of Big Day Kahuna, it's mutter. Or at least there's a machlokas about it. You can't say that Chazal were Makdish only halfway. That doesn't work. But I won't get into that. So he answers, Yesh Lomar, Delav Kachi Hashem Nikru Le'inyon Mi'ila. They're not Kachi Hashem vis-a-vis Mi'ila. Since you're allowed to get samana, so he notes that there's a heter, there's something by a rule by mi'ila, which is the only type of kachim that you're chayav for, or that which are considered kachi Hashem. Right, as soon as they're not called kachi Hashem, right, even if they have some kedusha, you don't get mi'ila. Right, such as, right, after you shech the karban, right, a shlamim, that which you're allowed to eat, right, you're not chayv mi'ila for it, even if you would misuse it and throw it out, right, you're not allowed to do that, you're chayv to eat it, but it's not mi'ila, because it's no longer kachi Hashem, now it belongs to you. So he says, lo nit natar l'malchei hasharis means, or translates into an allowance to wear it not only b'shas avoda. Once there's a heter, not only to wear it b'shas avoda. Mimela, it's not purely kachi Hashem. If it's not purely kachi Hashem, then it can't have mi'ila at all. Right? So this, again, works with the Rambam, that from the perspective of Big Day Kahuna, lonit netar l'malchei hasharis gets you out of the problem, and you're allowed to wear it even shelo b'shas avoda. But it doesn't b'kilayim, which highlights what? What we said before. Right, which is Lonin and Terel Malchei Hasharis is not what? Is not a?
It's not a universal
heter. Right? Because obviously sometimes the Torah does allow us to do things that are hard. In fact, you can eat an afalacha, which is split internally. Right? It could be that for certain aspects of the halacha, Lonin and Terel Malchei Hasharis, and you would be allowed to do it, and for other ones, you wouldn't be. Right, and we know Kilayim, right? Kilayim in general has very high demands. Right, the classic case in Brachos Daf Yates, which is
if you outside and you realize you're wearing Kilayim, if you have to take off all your clothing. Or...
Exactly, right. The classic case of Kilayim, you're outside, you realize you're wearing Kilayim, you have to strip. Right, very good. I'm impressed. Brachos Yates, good. Brach Hashem. We'll slowly get everybody to know all these important Daf Yates. Okay. So these are the three Gemaras. There's one more, which you'll see is slightly different than these three. The source 5, the Gemara is talking about how we build the Beis HaMikdash, or how we make the Ktores, how we prepare things for the Mikdash. And the Gemara says, Mesve, most are Ktores Mayos, and but what do they do with leftover Ktores? Hayu Mafrishin, Mimenus Char Umnen. You would separate it, separate the salary of the workers, and then you would redeem it, and then you would give it to them. lech le binyan, why don't you just redeem it with the building? Deloika binyan va'amaz omnin k'tani deleka binyan kishir moz v'amar shmuel hekte shava manash chil al shava putem mechal hanimil di aval chil al lo. Okay, so the Gemara basically goes through how it's a very tricky process of how we deal with this problem of hektish. So the Gemara then brings a solution. Because of all these complications, we build the parts of the Beis HaMikdash with their chol, and then we're makadesh them, because Amri Dilma by the Mizgav is Agalai Ibana Bikutcha is Akhtikamal Bikutcha. Because people might forget, they might lie down on it, they might lean on it, whatever the case may be. We don't want them to do that because then it'll come to Me'ila, so we aren't Makdish it until afterwards. So this last case is different than the other three, because this last one is not explaining why something is Mutter. What is it saying?
Why we do a certain process.
Right, meaning we recognize that people are human, and therefore what we do sometimes is we prevent any Isser from being existent. Right, that's a different usage of Lonit Nadar Lamalchei Hasharis. Right, philosophically, you see how they're linked. Right, I mean, they both recognize the importance of implementing halacha in a way that it's humanly possible, it's humanly plausible, but they're different. Right, one of them is not actually saying there's a heter, it's just saying, because you know there could be a problem, you take that into account. The other three cases actually are solving problems using this principle called lo nin etar l'malchei hasharis. Okay, but what is the principle, right? When does it apply and when does it not apply? So, Reb Moshe, when he was giving shir on it, notes that Poskim used this very expansively, but challenged that, and when he wasn't entirely clear about how he limited it, so I then did the responsible thing and asked Reb Moshe how he understood lo nit malchei hasharis, and then he told me that he forgot how he understood lo nit natar malchei hasharis, and he would try to reconstruct it. But since Reb Moshe also doesn't remember, I will reconstruct it to the best of what I caught during that shir. So Reb Moshe claimed, if I remember correctly, that lo nit natar malchei hasharis is specifically limited to cases which are either avoda or parallel to avoda. Right, if you look at the three cases that we have in our Gemara, it's Big Day Kahuna and Kriya Shema, right? Davening. Why? So he said, look, it's not that, right, the Torah really does ask things that are demanding. You might have thought that by Avoda, by Tefillah, we would have upped the normal standards, because you're serving God directly, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, whatever the case may be. And the Torah says, no, we expect from you normal things. Right? Lo nit natar l'malchei hasharis. Look, in other words, we want human beings to be the ones working in the Beis HaMikdash. We want the Beis HaMikdash shalmata, not shalmala. We want us to be the one davening and not only the malachim. If that's the case, we have to lower the standards a little bit. It doesn't mean we don't ask you things that are hard in general. It means that we don't expect superhuman effort to put in avoda, because there's a recognition that God wants us to do the avoda. I'm not sure this totally works, and you'll see in Poskim they don't really accept it. And a similar take on that from a totally different angle, which I think is probably what?
If you're expecting that avoda and tefillah is supposed to be on a higher level, so that means by definition everything else would definitely apply.
Right, so that's one problem, right? One could take it from a totally different perspective. Again, this is what I'll say. This is how, again, Christine Hayes understands the sugya. Here, I don't usually quote her that much, but she happened to give share on this while I was in New York. But I think here it might fit the evidence a little bit more, and you'll see it does emerge. She suggests that linguistically, actually, the Gemara uses it the opposite of where you would think. Because let's play out the scenario. If we told you that you couldn't say Kriya Shema unless you took a hot bath right before you said Kriya Shema every single time, because if there's even a Shemetz of Tzoa, even Mibifnim, so then what would the result of that be? What? They wouldn't say Kriya Shema, right? This happens sometimes, right? If somebody, Naniach, is, right, like really serious stomach problems, is in the hospital and they can't control their system, and they mamish have tzoa around all the time. They really, right, it's really hard. You might not halachically be allowed to daven, right? It's a very serious halakhic problem, right? When you raise the standards at some point, you make it impossible for people to do it. So she noted that it might be that the way that when the Gemara actually uses it the opposite way you think. It's not a heter, it's actually at some level, right? It's a chumrah. It's saying, don't try to get out of avoda by striving for perfection. The Torah doesn't expect perfection, and therefore you're chayev. Right? I mean, you can't make a taina of onus. You can't say, oh, I'm not clean enough to say kriyashma, or right, my foot is seared as my erva, or how could I do the avoda? Because if I wear the big day kahuna, definitionally there'll be a moment at the end when I'm wearing the bigadim and I'm not actually doing the avoda. No, lunina darla malach asharis, built into the system is the expectation that people are going to be doing the avoda, and therefore they're not perfect. Memela, you're chayev. Right? So that, I think, probably does fit these Gemaras pretty well, right? It actually, in many ways, accords with what Rav Moshe is saying, right? It is, they're all dealing with avoda, but not because that's where the limit is the heter, but that's where you have to go out of your way and say, and therefore don't try to get out of your chiyuv, right? Now, so that's how it's used in the Gemara. Now, what principles can we derive from it, right? What conclusions do we get outside of these contexts? So, now we return to the type of heterim we're talking about. So, the ones that we have, right? What are the three cases we have? One deals with kriyishma and is an allowance / achiyuv, whatever it is, but it changes the standards based on the recognition that human beings are sexual beings, right? And therefore, that's just definitional, right? They have an erva, right? They have a makom erva. Two is one that gives in to, right, the fact that we need to use the bathroom, right? Meaning, again, it's focusing on human beings as human beings, right? Even the one of the goddamn, again, you have to wear clothes. You can't. Ari, can you just close the door? Right. Then the one by Begadim again, right? You're human beings, you wear clothes, and you can't strip them immediately. That's impossible, right? So the... And again, as we pointed out, it's not impossible. It's very, very difficult. So the types of cases, and again, and even the fourth case, right? We don't build things by Kedusha. We wait for Magdash after it. Again, is a recognition that people might sit down. All those things, right? Where do we use Lenin and Talam al Chesharis? It seems to be in cases where being human definitionally seems to limit what a normal person would do. So halacha sort of accords to that and limits what halacha demands. Now, there are exceptions, and this is what we saw from the Kilayim case. Right? Isurim, under most circumstances, you really do have to run away from. Right? And while we can say that, look, for a mitzvah, a big day kahuna, so we let you wear it, and we don't say that it's also to get on off from, but shanes, which is a universal iser, right, which you would have to even strip in the middle of the street, despite the fact that kavod abrios and the chadome, right, there are exceptions to this rule, but there are going to be some cases where we limit what you're commanded to do, or limit the scope of what you're commanded to do, based on the fact that definitionally, to being human beings, we have limitations, and that's how it really comes up in Poskim. So here I gave you the Tshuva of Rosh Weiss, where he summarizes it. I want to read the question and then go through parts of the Tshuva to get an idea of how this is used. So, the question he was asked is, Be'edine talam, v'geder l'nitna talam al-chayasharis. Bugs in food, bugs in water, bugs in whatever, and l'nitna talam al-chayasharis. So this is the question. So he said, Samachni ma'odarada kuntras ha'nifla shekatav b'yachad ma'avrech ha'nifla, etc., etc. I was so happy to see this sefer you put together. Al af ter diti hikdashi k'tadman l'mod b'kachatchem la'ayin b'dibrechem la'ir eran yer l'fiyonayis daiti. And even though I'm busy, I found some time to make some comments on your sefer. Hine, so in your kuntres, kasaftem b'shem echad harabanim, you wrote, quoting some rav, digam dolaim zirim me'ot, shinikarim rak limetave re'ot, v'adam benoni eino mavchin b'hem klal asurim. You said that even bugs that are really small, that most people can't see, but people with really good vision can see, they're asur. Why? Da'ad kan lo kasvu ha'achronim lo hakel ela b'yitzurim mikroskopiyim she'enam nirim klal l'shum ada. Because you said that the achronim are only makil on things that are microscopic, that you can't see with the human eye. Because, as we said, the achronim expand I know, you're tired, I see. I know that move. That's fine. Right, because there's a recognition amongst the Achronim that microscopic things you can't be held liable for because the halacha is limited to expectations that you can figure out with the human faculties, with the human eye. I will call Shem Mishu. But you claimed that means that you can't require a human being. You can't require an angel. But if I say I'm not requiring an angel, I'm requiring that human, right? That human with super good vision, that's totally mutter, right? That or usher. I mean, if that bug can be seen by, who here has really good vision? I see everyone wearing glasses or wearing contacts. This is not helpful, except for...
I have glasses, I'm just not wearing
them. You're not wearing them. I mean, I'm not wearing... I don't have glasses, but my vision's not that good. But fine, right? He said, so is that fair? Right? Meaning, lo nin netzor l'malchay means... It definitely means that you don't have to look... Do you have glasses?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. So, here... It's a Jewish room. This is, you don't have glasses. So, Hanani. Right? Hanani, with his super good vision, right, can see the near microscopic bugs, right? So we have to bring all of our vegetables to Hanani to check our vegetables because... It's not that, lonit natural malachi asharis, but it's given to all of us. No, it's not given to malachi asharis, but it's given to Hanani, right? So that's the argument that this Rav made. And Rav Asher Weiss responds to this. Umishum gach pasak the perish adakin lantliyad sarach levot kan al yidei mum chesher yasur chazakav engal adam yachal ismakav al-vidikaso. And therefore you, Paskin, that normal people can't just look at their fruits or vegetables and say, oh, I don't see bugs, that's not enough. I have to give them to somebody with excellent vision to figure out whether there are bugs. So, right here, basically, the question that Rav Asher Weiss is dealing with is, okay, given that, what? Rav Usher Weiss. Rav Usher Weiss, Harav HaGoyen Rav Usher Weiss Shlita, who we love, and hopefully next week we'll do another tshuva by Rav Asher, and from Chelek Beis, if I get my hands on Chelek Beis, which I really hope I will. Rav Usher Weiss, right, says, well, what's the question he's dealing with? Given, L'nin Netzor L'malchei Asharis means that the Torah has certain dispensations, is given in a way that is given to human beings. And we can't expect something which is superhuman. But you can still ask the question, okay, so what does it mean for something to be superhuman? Right? We don't expect you to go to standards that, right? We don't expect you to look at something with an electron microscope and see, oh, there's an amoeba, it's not kosher, like Zillow. That everyone admits. But what does it mean? It doesn't mean that. Is it a halachic statement that means, under normal circumstances, things are gauged by average people? Or does it mean that, no, I can't require for you to use, right, a microscope. But if I can use a different person, so that's legitimate. Right? What exactly is the parameters? What does it mean we don't expect you to be an angel? So that's the question in front of him. So he starts and he says, "Call right." You can look at just the sections, the direction he's going in, and I think he's right. If you see, you'll see how it develops. He says, first of all, "Call Adam Rashai Lismoch Al Chushav." First principle he said is under normal circumstances halacha. When we talk about bidikos, when we talk about checking for isurim, the standards we used are that of the average person. And he brings a few cases. First case is Maros Damim. Right? It's by Nida, right? Certain shades of red are Usher, certain shades of red are not Usher, because Manazet, we're Machmor and all red. Certain shades are considered red, certain shades are not considered red, right? Certain things are the right size. You don't have to go and take every Nida question to the best Posek in the entire world with the sharpest vision, who is also an artist and can tell the difference between all different types of shades of colors, right? And is going to measure it with the most precise things that measures a gris. Ein l'dayan ela mashe ein aros. An average posek, an average person, looks at it. If it looks red, it's usher. If it doesn't look red, it's mutter. Zeu. Example one. Example two. Tarubis iser v'heter. Look at Beis, right? But tarubis iser v'heter, amru chazal, disamchinen ati imas kfeila. But by kashrus, to figure out whether something is batel, we ask a chef to taste it. So the Rishonim argue, why do you need a chef to taste it. Yesh omrim tzitarach damcha mumche l'kvo en yeshem tam ezer betav shol yesh omrim tzitarach damcha kvel mishum de uman lomar omnusay. So the first day it says you need an expert. The second one says you don't need an expert, you need a professional to make sure that he's not lying. Because if he's a chef and he lies, he's going to be right out of a job because people will no longer trust him. But if someone said it, Mesiach Lefitumo, he said it in a way that we could believe him, so even if he wasn't an expert, we would be fine. And we paskin like the latter position. We say the only reason you need a chef is because of Nemanis issues, but not because you need an expertise. And the Rajra phrases this in Torah's advice that lo by kvela klal, ella kol dam tam sheino nirgash, lo kol atomim, eino tam velo, vein chochin shin lo. Any taste that the average person doesn't taste doesn't count. Again, it all assumes that you're not particularly bad at tasting things, right? If you've burnt your tongue and can't taste anything, that's not what we're talking about. But average people, he can rely on his own tasting. I don't have to worry that someone has a better sense of taste. And he says, and even the people who need and chef, qua chef, that's only because we're dealing with a mix of tastes, right? We're trying to figure out, is there a shemetz of the taste, right? The equivalent to 1/60th worth of taste, something you taste at all. That, okay, maybe, stam adam lava daiti lafchen min tam letam. Average people couldn't tell. But just looking at something, is there a bug, is there not? Because if not, there would be no end. Number three, Hilchos Shechita, he notes that you are allowed to rely on the Shochet's checking of a knife. You don't have to go and check it yourself. If you look at number four, I am your day, as Achilba says, by a mikvah has to be not moving, right? It can't be that the water is flowing out of the mikvah. But we paskin, it's only as Achila Nikeres. Right? If it flows out so slowly that you can't possibly tell it's flowing out, that doesn't count. Right, something to be considered a flowing out of the mikvah, it has to be something that you can tell. You can look at it, you can see that it's flowing out. So the first thing he claims is that in general, when we're trying to figure out Yisurim, we rely on the average person. That's what, right, he hasn't yet gotten to learn Nitnatar L'Machai Asharis, but he says that's a general rule in Halacha. Now he gets to Nitnatar L'Machai Asharis, and he notes that this seems to deal with our question. Now he points out, he brings all of our cases. And he says, look, and umasha diak rav ploni. And now, what did you want to say? The adkan lo kasru hachachmas adam ushar achron and talachin and yiras lamari ayin ba'isur mishum lo nitar lo malchei asharis. And you wanted to say, oh, it's only lo nitar lo malchei asharis to angels of a kol shvidei adam yichol niros. But if any human being could see it, afim echad hu besofa olam, even some of the end of the world, kom makom ein ze malchei asharis. Ta'us kfulu mechupelasi. That's ridiculous. It's a right a mistake on top of a mistake on top of a mistake. We say it three times in Shas. And we don't actually mean that it's not given over to angels. Mamish, that you couldn't possibly do it, as we proved before. How do we know it's not impossible? Because, Zachariah? Right? Because there was a machlokes. Right? Abai said it was Asr, which means that it's something which is possible. And Chazal understood that under certain circumstances, it's mutter to do things because we can't expect you to do something which is really hard. And we meant, right? We exaggerated when we said it's not given to angels. And now he goes through the three examples. And as we mentioned before, right, you just skip to the second paragraph here. It's possible that you could dress in such a way that your foot couldn't see the erva. Otherwise, Abai couldn't think it was aser. And despite that, she does Ravid lo mistaber. And despite that, Rava said it doesn't make sense that the Torah would ask so much. We call bondage of the correct Kriyashma. Rava says, Erva, that every time you say Kriyashma, you make sure your foot isn't seeing the Erva. Mustavish like Pita Torah, El Shloye, Libo Rosa Erva. And similarly, in the next one, he said, right, you could have gone to a bath, right? Four lines in. Yachalishtof, Gufa, Bechamin, Bevol, the Kriyashma. You could say you have to take a hot bath every time you say Kriyashma. Lunakodos, Ambakamov, and Shloye, Techam to a Klal, Adlo Mustaver. Doesn't make sense. Chol Palms, your correct Kriyashma. So again, what he said, what he points out is that it seems to be that Lonin tells us two things: that under certain circumstances, the Torah basically circumstances that give into our humanity, right? We allow you to do things without striving for perfection, or even without striving for things which are really hard, and we judge that by what average people can do. And now, if you look at section Gimel, right, he gives you a skira here of how this phrase is used in Rishonim. So, we'll just go through a few. If you look in Aleph, right, he's dealing with with Kilayim, and there's a shear for Kilayim, right? If there's one grain of some other min mixed into a mixture, that's not kilayim, and the Tanaim argue exactly how much it is. So if you skip to the second paragraph there, we should arashba kaza batam bazed mistabra mishum dlo efshar di efshar shlo yete bazedet pray the achas min echob zezer as a kol. Why is this true? Because it can't be that one seed in a whole field is going to answer it. Why? Shiver biyad b'chol zera asher yizara. And I can't be asher yizareya. It can't be that every little seed I have to check independently to make sure that it's only wheat or only barley. Lo nin natar l'malchei ha'aretz. Because the Torah is not given to angels. Now, if you skip to the next paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 lines in, Mikol Makom, Chazinan Shah Rashba, we see from the Rashba, Kazal Levar Mishnah Zu, Dechevan Shadu Darko, Vetivil Shul Olam. Since this is how things are done, Shabagidol Chaklai, if Shershal Izar Mimin Acher, that when you plant things, something is always going to be mixed in. The wind is going to blow something in. Lo mistaber shigvita Torah al ma'at kilayim. It can't be that the Torah asked a little bit. Deinzem misyashiv al aleiv shi'adam tzarach livdok shi'u kol ha'eis la'akar v'chol yom et tarovas aminim imkomam. It can't be you have to spend all day looking for one seed that blew in and take it out. Look at Bayes. And well, finish the paragraph. Even though it's in theory possible, that's not what happened. In Bayes, you're allowed to sleep in your tefillin. A temporary slave, not a permanent slave. Tanyich ben keva ben arai. Tanyich lo keva lo arai. Lo kashan lo yadeh. The man kevareja. The bar sudra alay. And the Gemara concludes, right? The difference is, are you holding it? Is it on your head? Or is it? Or did you cover it? V'rashi sham the bar sudra alay. Unicham eitzom rashotav. Ben keva ben arai. Lo nene tzol malchei shoreis. V'av devade yesher lo adam lachol tzvilam al nicham al gavim mirome keret barov pe'er v'hadar. And even though in theory it would be possible every time I went to sleep, too, again, this is talking about someone who wears tefillin all day, even though it's possible for me to put it away in the tefillin bag and put it away every time, right? And now you see the limitations that you find. Since the mitzvah is to wear tefillin all day, if the mitzvah is to wear tefillin all day, then it's a mitzvah which is matim to normal human life, right? We are more machmir tefillin because we don't wear it all day. So for just davening, we could be more machmir. But Meikar Adin, if you're wearing tefillin all day, so we understand. Sometimes people doze off, they're listening to a shir klali, they go to shir klali, it's a good time to wear your tefillin, you're learning Torah, there's no reason you shouldn't, you're focused only on shir klali. People doze off, zekareh, people doze off in all shirim. I really don't get insulted, Tamin Lee. Right? This is something you just get used to when you're in yeshiva, like, you know. He said, right, a mitzvah which is meant to be done all day, right, must be limited by life. Right, and that was the same thing you saw in the Rajba. And this is what Rav Asher Weiss, I think, is building if you put them all together, right? The Rajba is saying, look, the normal way to plant is you plant. You try to make sure there's no kilayim, but one seed's going to fall in. It can't be that's what's usher. If you're wearing tefillin all day, it can't be that you can't be expected to doze off. Number three, this is by a complicated case by Mincha. But certain menachos are not allowed to have oil at all. So Tosfos asks, well, why do we let you use other jugs? How do you know you cleaned it off well enough? So Tosfos there again says, and of course you could have cleaned it off, but we don't. Maybe we're not machayev you. And if you look at the next three paragraphs in Umama Utsamachti and the Chazon Ish in explaining this halacha, right, says it's Lashon Hazav Shal Adonino Chazon Ish. Umashkav says Sham Shalom Nitna Darla Malchay Ashares Kavanasam the Kaven Sheev Shal Anagod Aluk Below Torah Maruba. Since look to say that I have to like you know run it through a sensor, make sure that there's not a drop of oil. That's just a lot of work. Right, mitzvah shalom l'tzrach was that you don't have to, right? You clean it out. If there's a little bit left, fine. Van yir drash alam arka klila abed hashemen v'ayayin omiyu I kinsan efshar dehen kadeshen gishar be'rutzei amilas mir rabbanan. Let's see, just skip around here. Go to 6, right, to Vav. Uvishud harash v'da ki nir lefi shechazal kavuz man l'achshir klei abalua yayin nezach shiru shloshes yamim v'chol eith me'ez yara amayim v'rishonim v'yasem achirem chen shiru chomim v'chavtal shalos pa'alo amayim v'lozim v'shiv lo yilu amayim l'achshir klei. Right, in certain cases of hechshir klei, you need 24 hours, 3 days, right, 3 24 hour periods. But he says that hilkach v'chol me'ez le'ez yichavim v'day jolar amayim v'rishonim v'im lo yichol etzamtim v'regachad lo nina dron malchei ha'shareis. But what does it mean 24 hours? It means about 24 hours. We don't expect you to sit there with an atomic clock and figure out exactly the right time. Tet, another Nida case. We saw these already. If you look at Yud, Tet, Yud, and Yud Aleph are all Nida cases. Where he says, again, by Dam in general, we tell people, right? We determine Dam by the normal person. When you have to do Bedikos, right? You do a Bedika as much as you can. We don't get into details of what that means, but three Nida cases in a row. Then if you look at, right, Yud Beis is what we already saw. Now if you look at its conclusion, Umi Kol Zela Madnu Derech Rabosin Amudi HaTorah V'Harah, what's the conclusion? Meos Chazal G'dolei HaPoskim Dila Olam Somech Adam Al Bedika Kedarkel Shal Olam Kach Nera Gam Benin Adidan. You always rely on normal checking. Dach Shabbatah Kameita V'Yicholto V'lo Matza Tola Im V'Yifesh V'lo Matza Eino Tzarech Lachsho Shema Yishachirim HaRoim Tov Mimenu V'Heim Hayu Motzim Mashal Matzahu. And I don't have to worry that there's someone who sees better that could have done a better job. So right, if we put it all together, and then we'll see one more exception, and then we'll be done. Right, the Torah, the Gemara, Chazal have a backstory. Right, Torah was not given to angels, but Chavana. It was given to human beings, which means that it's not that the Torah can never ask us to do hard things. Really, Yisurim it does. Right, normally, right, generally, Yisurim, especially Yisurim where bimikre it could happen that it's really difficult, but not definitionally. Right, the Torah really does ask to do things which are hard. Right, as we talked about last year with Kavod HaBrios, Shatnez doesn't fundamentally violate your humanity. Right, it just happens to be if you are walking outside and you realize your clothes are kilayim and all your clothes are kilayim, and then you have to strip, so it violates your Kavod HaBrios. Fine, but we make you do that because the Torah doesn't. Right, the Torah really does sometimes ask you to do things which are really hard. But either when asking you to do something which is really hard would really, in effect, lower the standard of what we're asking you, right? Because you'd say, well, I can always get out of saying Kriya Shema because that's really, 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 really hard, right? And it's just not realistically going to happen. Right? The Torah recognizes that because the Torah is given to human beings, so, okay, you have to be clean as much as is normal, right? You have to be dressed as much as is normal. The Torah doesn't expect people to strip off the Big Day Kuna, Mibchinat Big Day Kuna, because the fact that it's human beings who are serving the Beis HaMikdash and not Malachim recognizes that if you're wearing it, you're going to wear it a little longer than the Avodah. Once you say that, it's not purely Kachi Hashem, because it's in the human realm. Now, in general, though, to what cases do Chazal and Poskim limit it? To cases where it really is definitional to being human being, right? Such as when you have to check things. You could say, I have to check it with a microscope, I have to check it with a magnifying glass. We paskin, you don't have to, because lunin tarlam al-hajars means human beings have a certain level of vision. If the Torah said you have to be sure, you have to be sure enough, as a normal human being would. You don't have to go out of your way. But you obviously have to check, but you have to check with the naked eye, right? Same with tefillin, right? They have to be square as much as you can tell from looking at it. if you're supposed to be wearing tefillin all day. So there, okay, well, there'll be certain heterim. You don't always have to bring your talis bag with you, because if you're wearing it all day, there's a recognition that dozing off is something that human beings do. They doze off during shir, they doze off during davening for this morning, whatever the case may be, right? In general, in base midrash, whatever. What?
Why are you wearing tefillin on Shavuot?
You're not, but I'm saying you doze off. It's just something you do, right? So, what I think, right, the conclusion basically is, it's not that the Torah never asks you things that are difficult, but things which are definitional to being human beings, such as, you have to search things, but the normal way you do it is the human eye, and the human eye has certain limitations, okay, then the expectation is, the bedika is with the human eye, the average human eye, right? If you have to see, is something red or not, well, the Torah, if it gave it to human beings, that means you have to see, is it red or not? Does a normal human being think it's red? Kilayim. Right, the fact that Hashem expects you to be able to plant means that you have to be able to plant, and you right, it can't. It's not possible that you would have to plant in a way that's superhuman. Now, again, right, if in fact, right, a huge wind came and mixed up your whole kerem, such that now there's 50% grapes and 50% right, it's 50% wheat and 50% grapes, or whatever, 30% grapes and 30% wheat and 30% sorim, and now it'll take forever you to pick it out, in that case, the Torah really does answer it, right? It's not that we never ask you to do things that are hard, but in normal circumstances, we don't make you go and look for that one little grain, because the Torah was given to human beings. So that, I think, is the basic type of cases when you'll see poskim use on Ninatol Malchasharis. I gave you the tshuva because he gives 12 examples, and you can see how else it plays out. There is one big exception to this, however. One, actually, we already saw, which is Isurim, which are not fundamentally impossible to keep. Just under certain circumstances, they are, right? Sometimes you really are asked to do things which are really difficult, right? It's not that Kilayim in general is hard to do, right? It happens to be that, you know, by Big Day Kahuna, it is hard to do, but that's just an application of it. So you have to take it off. You have to take the Avnet off. Fine. The more important one, I think, just to mention, and this is what Rav Asher mentions in the end, is...
is blowing into a field really a good example?
What? I mean, I brought the Kilayim case because that's what he brought. Yeah?
No, I understand. I'm saying his bringing of the Kilayim case, what you end up having, though, is the person didn't plant the Kilayim. It happened to be that there is now Kilayim in the field. Would the person actually, in fact, have to go to the
yes.
field?
Yes, because if you let it stay, it's wrote to Bikiyumo, and then it's Usher. Right, that would be. That's why I brought that example. Yeah, because at some point, right, there would be rota bikiyumo. But that's not normal, right? Meaning for that wind to come and that. So yeah, sometimes you have to do things if you want it to. Right, if you want to keep your field, you got to get rid of that stuff because otherwise it's rota bikiyumo and then it really is usur. But that's not a normal occurrence, right? Lenin Adarul Machesharis doesn't say every time something's difficult you don't have to do it. It means that halachot that are predicated on normal human life are usually limited to normal human life. The exception, though, that is. I won't read it inside. What happens when we say lo nitna tarla malchayasharis and comes out that what happens in a case where it's not about isurim, it's about figuring out reality, right? So then, do we say lo nitna tarla malchayasharis? So here, I think he correctly critiques Rav Moshe Feinstein for saying that we don't. For example, right? You can't tell without using with very advanced medical equipment whether somebody's heart is beating. So do you just say, oh look, his heart isn't beating. As far as I can tell, he is dead. Right? And I can harvest his organs. No. Right? That you don't do. Then that's what he says. Right? His first, right, source in the last section. Rigor's Moshe. Done. Like Adam, Shehiv Siklin Shum. Someone stop breathing. Velomar Gishim Lo Dovak Alev. You don't feel his heart pumping. Vinakad Be'etamai Rai Ladon Shadino Kimes. Ave Machir Rufuim Roim Shadain Ale Poem Ain Zek Klum. The Chem Jadam Roa Kopil Lechom Machir Raisim Kine Halacha Kilu Libo Hipsik Nom Shuv Ain Neshama Baba Shmokom Pazak Shadino Kachai Mitam Acher. Right? He said, Rav Moshe said, fundamentally, we should assume the person is dead. It just happens to be there's a separate halacha which says we wait 3 days, right, to make sure that people aren't dead. So you see that here we would wait and we should use medical equipment. But he says, fundamentally, what's Ramosha's claim? That if he looks dead to me, he's dead. Elamai, there's a separate halacha that I have to wait to be sure that he's dead. He said, no, what are you talking about? Right? Lunidit Tolam al-Khasharis means under certain circumstances, Isurim or Chiyuvim are limited by humanity. It doesn't mean that if we're asking a factual question, Right? I can assume that somebody's dead because I can't tell with the naked eye. That's not what Lanidin Tarlamath Hasharis means. Right? He brings three examples like this. Right? He also said, right, hearing with a hearing aid. He said, look, before you hear, right? If the question is, do you hear or not? Right? I don't care how you got there. I understand it's not natural, but de facto, you hear. Right? Certain things which are just Metzius questions, right? We use technology. Lenin Malchashar doesn't mean halacha doesn't recognize technology. It means that normal halachos we expect you to do in a normal way. It doesn't mean that when I have a better way of determining facts, or I can factually hear Metzius, I can hear, even though it's not natural, that Lenin Malchashar, that doesn't count. So I think that's a good limitation. The exact parameters of it, we don't really have time to get into, but that, if you want to look, is the last section in his Shuman. I think he's right, that while Torah is limited to right, human things, when it's purely a factual question, we now just have better ways of determining it, right? Not for Isurim, but like Letov, right? Is somebody dead or not, right? Will I murder him? So there, you know, presumably, especially since all the Bikurim and the case in the Gemara seem to be just a way of telling. Yeah?
Why is that different than the Nida case? Where
so presumably that's because by the Nida case, right, the the question really is there the Gemara especially probably the reason that he is convinced by this because the Gemara there specifically says that Ein Ladayin Ela Masha Ein Avroos, but also intuitively. Right, definitely the case that he brings, right, the figuring out whether someone's alive or dead, right, there the Gemara never, right, doesn't give standards. The Gemara gives ways of figuring out whether he's dead because we're figuring out a different standard, right? It's, right, his, you know, this is a complicated medical ethics, right? Is it that the heart stopping is itself death, right, or is that just a determinant of death, right? So there, Chazal, we're approximating, figuring out the best way to figure it out, so presumably, right, if we had a better way, we would do it. By Nida, it's not really quite the same because not all blood is Tameh, right? Something could be blood and not Tameh, right? If it's like a Kesem, it would be Tahor, right? Even though it's actually blood, right? Meaning, it's right. It's not that if I looked at it and I could tell it was blood, it's automatically Tameh, right? That, it, the whole thing is a halakhic construct. It's not like we're telling some other... So I assume that's the difference,
it's
that
Nida... binary.
Right, it's not, right, Nida's not binary, right? Death is, right? Either he's alive or dead. So if I have a better way of figuring out it, I do. Nida's not really like that because it's... Right, there could be cases where it really is blood, but it's damaka, or it really comes, or it comes with hargasha. Right, meaning halacha, there's a whole bunch of halachos in it, so I assume that's part of the difference, or are you just to say that, look, life and death is different than nida, right? That's also another one. I don't know which one he says, right? This is just things to think about, and we're not going to figure out to the last details. It's already time for mincha, so we'll, a minute in, but very quickly, yeah.
Tolaim, just that question?
What?
Tolaim, that also, just... as an Isra'i bug.
Right, but again, there, right, again, that, right, there are certain bugs, clearly, right, if something is a, right, is micro, right, if something is an amoeba, right, second a living thing, right, he assumes that, look, Lenin Charles Machaishar, you know, I won't get into that. This is a Dionin postgame. It could be that that's a Din Misasek, right? It could be that at some point when it's so small that you wouldn't be able to tell under normal circumstances, right, it's Misasek, it's not concerned intent, but this is not, right, obviously there's, it's difficult to draw the exact line between when we're just trying to figure out Metzias and when the Metzias that's relevant is determined by Halacha, Od Chazon Lamo'ed, but this is just something to think about. If you can come up with a formulation that very sharply distinguishes it, Ashrecha, otherwise we're already 2 minutes late for Mincha, so let us end here.